Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here as we gather for worship. A lot more empty seats this week than last week. We should have a town hall every Sunday. That's right. But it's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. Welcome to anyone who may be visiting today. Also want to extend an invitation to everyone to stay for a few moments after the service for Thai refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen right beside the parlor. You'll note on the, first of all, before I forget, a welcome to David and Virginia Williams, a special welcome to them as they will be providing special music during the service today. On the back page of the bulletin, you'll note the calendar for this week, and yes, we are sort of in our summer mode, not a lot of meetings, but some activities do continue. Our Tuesday Bible study will be meeting at 11:30. We have our Glen Ridge worship service, our monthly service at Glen Ridge at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, and Friday is our feeding ministry. And I did put in at 3 o'clock, and I forgot that we don't have a lot of cooking to do, so probably even 3:30, 4 o'clock for most folks would be okay on Friday. That we are purchasing all of the ingredients already prepared, so it's pretty much just lining them up and washing a few things off and getting them ready. So that is Friday of this coming week. Also, there is an insert in your bulletin. On one side is the yard sale that the property trustees are sponsoring. And personally, if you'd like to rent a table or a space for $20, or if you'd like to donate some things for the church to sell, you may do that as well. You need to speak with Steve Butland about that. He is in charge of that. There is contact information there. That is on Saturday, August 12th from 10 to 3. And on the reverse side is the shopping list for backpack supplies for back to school things for the children in the housing families program. I'm having a mind block here for a moment. There is a bucket outside. We have taken some things out already that have been donated. One request is that if you do make a donation, if you can just put a little note in the approximate value of that, monetary value of that, so that Marilyn has that to report to housing families, because they try and assess, you know, how much groups have donated, not just us, but all donations to their program. So if you can do that, we appreciate that. The deadline is July 30th to get it to us, so we can get it to them that first week in August. Also, this afternoon, there is an ordination service for Karina Fontanez. I asked Marilyn this morning, I had the accent in the wrong place. At Zion Baptist Church in Lynn. And Marilyn will be attending that. If someone would like to go and would like a ride, you can check with Marilyn after the service. Also wanted to let you know that the congregation is no longer providing space for childcare. ABCD has officially moved out of the basement of the church. They moved out of the parish house 2 weeks ago. But they have turned in their keys. I have them. So they are officially gone. Triangle is working feverishly to try and get the parish house ready. The move-in date is now the 31st of July. So we're hoping that that happens. The church in Maine that is purchasing the playground equipment was down on Friday unannounced. And took one piece of equipment apart to see how to do it and how to get underneath the rubber matting. And they'll be back down in force on Saturday morning, this coming Saturday. They'll be starting to take away the playground equipment and playground. So a lot of things going on right now. But just keep our congregation, keep ABCD in prayer, Triangle in prayer, and also the congregation in Maine that's purchasing the playground equipment. They are very excited. They had the lot already cleared, and they have been raising the money, and so they're just, you know, moving the equipment as fast as they can to get that set up. But it's an exciting time. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 280 for our responsive call to worship. The first few verses that we read together this morning are also part of our scripture text for my sermon later, but I thought it didn't hurt to read and hear it twice this morning. So let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, Jesus says. Trust also in me.
In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you.
I am going there to prepare a place for you.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me.
There will be no more death,
no mourning or crying or pain.
For the old order of things has passed away.
I am making everything new.
There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun.
The Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with you, and I will give you to everyone according. I will give to everyone according to what he has done.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Our opening hymn this morning is "We Come, O Christ, to You." Number 129. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. You call each of us by name and set us on this journey of life together. Grant that we will hear when you call us to new destinations and challenging possibilities. Give us the courage to follow the one you sent to lead us. Inspire us by your Holy Spirit. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our way, our truth, and our life. We now join in the prayer that he taught his followers as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May be seated.
prayer celebration, the concern is with the church family as we go to prayer. We want to continue to remember Joan Christine. I learned this morning that she was taken out by ambulance this morning, so we want to thank Joan in prayer. Also, Paul Patriot. I don't know for sure if he's home yet or not. We want to keep Paul has been in rehab, and we want to keep Paul in prayer. Also, Beth Sandberg, and it was good to see May Alperman last week. She was with us last week. We've got several folks there that have some health issues, and we want to keep in prayer today. If you have any requests for prayer this morning, you'd like to share. Cindy?
My girlfriend asked for prayers for her daughter, who just had her tumor removed from her liver.
I have celebrations. Friday was our 54th wedding anniversary. We made it that far, one day at a time. And our granddaughter, who lives with us, is being married on Friday in Niagara Falls. She's eloping. But Grammy and Grandma are going to.
It's a special engagement, special invitation.
Yeah. But her parents weren't able to go, and she said, Grandpa, I'd like you and Grandpa to go. He said, of course. Why not?
We're celebrating the anniversary.
And also, back next Sunday. I'm going Friday, Saturday.
And also, a new marriage, too. So
we
celebrate that. Yes?
My sister Beth dealt me his daughter. It's still going to be a little bit of a chance to enter. So we might be back for
her. Mark?
Yes, lifelong friend is an intensive care.
You guys want to keep your friend in prayer?
My friend Eleanor, she's back in, but I had to go back to the, I think, after the assistant with it. She took two losses.
So I think Eleanor and Brandon, we've been praying for quite a while now, but it's back in the rehab for a while. Anyone else have a prayer request? Michael?
I have a celebration. It's twofold. One is I saw our friend Heather that we've been praying for. And I just learned she was promoted to full professor at her university.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, nice.
A great celebration. Yeah. And her health was doing?
Sure, she's doing day by day.
Day by day.
But she's doing well to be expected with a good attitude. So, of course, better than ever with us.
Anyone else have prayers? Marilyn, yes, wave your hand. Hi.
Unfortunately, my friend Judy had a call to rehab. She's in Lady for brain reading.
Okay, so I think Marilyn's praying for you. Jeffrey, did I see you?
Yes, I would like to thank the congregation for remembering Bella in prayer. And she was so sad she missed her anniversary, but she's now well.
I heard she's back at school this week.
Right.
Yeah, so Bella's doing better. Bella's doing better.
Suganda and Chandu and Suganda's parents are flying off to San Francisco on Friday.
Oh, so they're all pretty
good. Vacation.
Safe travels and safe journeys. Have you been there before?
I have been.
You've been there. Okay. But the rest of the family has been there. That's wonderful. So enjoy your time away. Pray for safe travels. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Not then let's go to God. Some of these requests are something that's not on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving God, we come to this time of prayer. The song says it pulls us and calls us from a world of care. And yet, Lord, we can't always take our cares and leave them at the doorstep, but we sometimes do bring them into the church with us. Lord, we've lifted up some of those cares today to you in our private prayers. We also lift them up in our corporate prayers now, God. We pray that you would hear all of our petitions. where we are so grateful that we have that privilege, that you are a personal God, you're not a remote God that does not care about your creation, that you care about us so much, you love us so much, that you want a personal relationship with each of us, and therefore that you want to be in prayer with us, not only hearing from us, but also communicating with us. Father, we pray that you would forgive us when we sometimes hang up on you too soon, that we give you the laundry list of our cares, wants, and then don't wait for your response. Lord, help us to have patience. Help us to be in the moment of prayer and meditation with you. Lord, sometimes that's difficult to turn off all the distractions around us. Lord, we just pray that through your Spirit we may focus on you. Oh God, this day we lift up those that we've mentioned and others who are ill and injured, those who are hospitalized and at home and in rehab and assisted living. Just pray, oh God, that they may gain some physical strength, that they may be healed according to your will for their lives. We pray for their caregivers as well, oh God, whether those are loved ones or professional staff. Lord, we just pray for them as well. We thank you, God, for the wisdom and the training and the skill that men and women have that are in the medical profession, that are willing to share that with us when we become injured or ill. So God, we are in the midst of summer travel plans and summertime. Lord, we just pray for those who are traveling. They may have safe travels. Their journeys may be uneventful, that if they're going on vacation, they may be a time of rest and relaxation and refreshment. They return renewed to pick up where they left off. Lord, we pray for families that may have time to be together more in the summer than during the school or academic year. Lord, this day we also pray for our sister church in Lynn as they ordain Nina, and we just pray, that your Spirit may be upon her as she accepts this call to ministry from you, and she is ordained. Lord, as we, as part of the association, we just lift our prayers for her to you this day. We ask to continue to bless her as she steps out into ministry, the ordained ministry, the ministry that's recognized, not only by you, but also by those within the association, especially within her congregation. Lord, we also pray for our world this day. We see where there are fires and floods, where there are tornadoes and storms and earthquakes. Lord, we just shake our heads sometimes and wonder what our world is coming to. Lord, we know that you are the master planner. Lord, we just lift our whole world to you and ask that you would care for our world and help us to be good caretakers of all that you have bestowed to us. Lord, this day we pray for those who are living in terror, those who are living in bondage. We pray that one day they may be free. Oh God, we pray for those that where there is war taking place in our world. We pray that there may be peace. We ask this all in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Worship in many different ways this morning, and I have an opportunity now to continue in our worship as we present our tithes and our offerings, and advising gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Oh, Shepherd. We bring these gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us, your sheep, as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Irene Hoffman is our lay reader today and will be reading the scripture.
Morning. The reading this day is from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father dwells in me and does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. May God add his blessing to reading and understanding of his word.
Thank you. Thank you, Irene. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words from your Holy Scripture this morning, words of Jesus that may be familiar for some of us and may be brand new for others of us, but Jesus talking about going someplace and the disciples not fully understanding. And Lord, we must confess that at times we don't fully understand our faith either in what you call us to be doing. Lord, we pray that in these moments together that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you, that it may be clear and be able easily understood, that it may help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're now in the midst of the busy summer travel season, and some of you may have already taken a vacation, and while others of you may be looking forward to a trip sometime soon, we already heard about a couple trips taking place this week. Print and online news sources have featured tips about how to take the terror out of travel, especially airplane travel. The discussion is no longer about how to make travel a fun and enjoyable experience. Those days are pretty much gone. What we want to do is figure out how to mitigate the unpleasantness. Generally, experts agree that when planning to travel, five concerns come into play: the day of the week, the time of the day, the time of the year, if it happens to be near a holiday, and the destination. And that's especially, again, for flying someplace. But in this morning's scripture, Jesus is making some travel plans, and he's just now sharing these plans with his disciples. Like us, he too wants to take the terror out of travel. And thus his opening words recorded in the chapter 14 are, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Words that we do not be afraid we often hear, but let not your hearts be troubled. Those are good words for any of us who are headed to the airport or on the road or planning a journey by train or ship. Jesus is saying, look, fellas, I'm going away. Here's what you need to know, because someday you'll be taking this trip too. And then he talks about their trip. Jesus is sort of like a tour leader who has arranged everything, is going ahead to ensure that everything is up to snuff before the arrival of the group. So I want us this morning to consider five points that Jesus covers in his travel instructions. And it's not the ones that I said earlier about that travel experts suggested. These are some other ones that pertain to today's scripture. The first one, the first instruction, is about the destination. We may be questioning, well, where are we going? And Jesus answers this question in three ways. First, he says that he and later his disciples is going to my Father's house. Okay? So zooming in a little bit closer on that, he identifies a location within my Father's house as a dwelling place or a mansion or many rooms, depending on which version, which translation we're using. But in other words, that Jesus is saying that where he is going and where the disciples will someday go is a place where one lives. The destination is a place to live. So that's the second part that he talks about, the destination. The third part, the third description, is really not very descriptive at all. But the destination is just called a place. So from all three of those answers, we really don't get much information about our destination. Clearly, the expression, my father's house, is a metaphor. I don't think that there are all these castles in the sky that we're destined to live in at some point. But yet the implication is very clear from Jesus' words. The place where Jesus is going is a place to live and reside. It's not a place to be dead, but to be alive. Jesus is going to his Father's house. In other words, he is going home. And this is why the disciples should feel comforted, and we should also. Jesus is going home, and someday the disciples and all of us will likewise be going to the Father's house. We too will be, in a great sense, going home. But there's another nuance at work as we try to answer the questions, where are we going? Ultimately, our destination is God. Not necessarily God's house, but God himself. The second part of verse 6 says, no one comes to the Father except through me. In the last half of today's scripture, verses 7 through 14, is all about who the Father is in relationship to Jesus. When we talk about our future destination, it comes down to this reality. We are going to God. We are going to live and dwell and have our eternal being in the presence of God. This is why we should not be troubled. Believe in God. We believe also in Jesus. Moving on past the destination, we move to the second point of Jesus' travel instructions, and that deals with the travel agent. Who is making the arrangements for us, or are we doing it on our own? Jesus says that he's doing that, that he's in the details, that he has everything covered. If we're taking an extended trip visiting several countries, we need someone to take care of all those arrangements. We have rooms to book, rental cars to arrange, flights to schedule, sites to see, museum fees to pay. Someone has to do all of that. A good tour guide or a travel agent is essential. Perhaps you have handled these details in the past. How did it work out for you? Was it great? Or did you wish somebody else had made all the arrangements ahead of time and said, never again will I do it myself? Jesus is handling all these details for us on our journey to heaven. You believe in God, he says. Believe also in me. He reminds us that he's been communicating with us all along. If it were not so, would I have told you? Would I have told you about this? He describes his role as someone going ahead to make preparations. When it comes to their eternal destination, the disciples must trust in Jesus. We just sang about trusting in Jesus. They must believe that Jesus is the advance man to make sure that everything is ready. We no doubt have a ton of questions about this journey. Quite frankly, it may be quite scary for some of us because we aren't really sure, you know, what the journey is like and what the destination is all about. But not to worry, Jesus says, for he is personally handling all the travel plans. Then we move on to Jesus' third instruction that deals with the accommodations. What are the rooms like? Whether we have physical rooms in heaven or metaphorical rooms, but what is it like there? Jesus describes them as being prepared. In your travels, have you noticed differences in the preparations of hotel and motel rooms? At the fancy places, perhaps the five-star hotels, we're going to get a fruit basket, perhaps a handwritten note from the general manager, a mint on the pillow, turn-down service, an iron and ironing board, coffee maker, free Wi-Fi, a desk, a comfortable upholstered chair, king-size bed, subdued lighting, and you could add to the list whatever you've experienced. But if we're stopping at the no-name motel along the side of the road, the rooms might not be quite as prepared. We may feel we need a package of paper towels and a bottle of spray disinfectant before we even consider staying in a room there. Our eternal accommodations will be prepared. And of course, we're still speaking metaphorically here, but the reality is always larger and better than the sign advertising it. So this prepared dwelling place is going to be wonderful. It's not only going to meet the expectations, it's going to exceed expectations beyond our wildest imaginations. No need, therefore, for our hearts to be troubled about the accommodations. And the fourth point on Jesus' travel instructions from our scripture today deals with the directions. And how are we going to get there? Well, we should already know how to get there. Jesus says that to the disciples, tells them they know the way to the place where I am going. But Thomas, and we often call him Doubting Thomas because of his not acceptance of the disciples' words of Jesus being resurrected from the dead, but Thomas often was the one that asked the questions that probably everybody else was asking in the room but was afraid to say. But Thomas, speaking up for the rest of the disciples, says that they don't even know the destination. So how can they know the directions to an unknown destination? Clearly, someone had not been paying attention, Jesus feels. But Jesus' answer is classic and one of the most well-known of all the gospel texts. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's like if we were going off to a strange, off the beaten path location, someone asks us, how are we going to get there? We could answer, "I have no clue, but Bob's going with me, and he knows the way. And actually, Bob is the way. As long as I don't lose Bob, I don't have anything to worry about." Jesus is the way. Jesus is all the direction that we need. Our journey to our eternal destination is already underway. And even now, today, as we struggle to love someone who makes it very difficult to love, as we struggle to lift up the needy or provide comfort to those who are sorrowing, we may not know how to get to where we're supposed to be. But Jesus is our guide. He is our model. He is our template of how we should live. He is our sense of direction. Jesus is that like pulsating blue dot on our GPS screen that shows us where we are. There's no need to be troubled about the directions because Jesus is our guide. And the fifth and final point of Jesus' travel instructions deals with the welcome party. Who's going to be there to meet us when we get there? In truth, we don't know who's going to meet us exactly. Some say St. Peter, but it's an interesting travel question. We usually want to know what's going to happen upon arrival. The Bible says the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. Perhaps we can gain insight from Jesus' parable about the prodigal son. Recall in that parable that when the son who had asked for his inheritance early and then squandered it, when he tires of his wasted life and lustful living and runs out of cash and is basically jobless and homeless, he doesn't say, "Hey, I'll go back to my house." And he doesn't say, "I should go back to my boyhood home." He says, "I will get up and go to my father." Who's going to meet us in heaven? The Father, of course. We go back to the parable of the prodigal son. So the boy, or the young man, set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, His father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. If the father of this story runs to meet his long-lost child, how much more will our Heavenly Father be there to greet us as we reach our eternal destination? And then the celebration will begin. We should not lose sight of the fact that none of this is possible unless Jesus goes away from the text this morning. That is what Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples in this chapter in the Gospel of John. Jesus is going to his Father's house, but he is going by the way of the cross. That little pulsating blow dot on our metaphorical GPS system of life is a pulsating red cross. This is our guidance and reference point, the cross of Christ. Because of the cross, we will someday have a crown. Because of the cross, we will someday enter the kingdom. Because of the cross, we can know Christ, who enables us to have eternal life. So there is no need for troubled hearts. We do not need to worry about travel plans. It's covered by Jesus Christ through the cross and the empty tomb. I want us to pray now, and I'm going to use the words that are attributed to St. Brendan the Voyager, who lived in the 6th century. Let's pray together. God bless to us this day. God bless to us this night. Bless, O bless thou God of grace, each day and hour of our life. Bless, O bless thou God of grace, each day and hour of our life. God bless the pathway on which we go. God bless the earth that is beneath our soul. Bless, O God, and give to us thy love. O God of gods, bless our rest and our repose. Bless, O God, and give to us thy love. And bless, O God of gods, our repose. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is When We All Get to Heaven, number 650. Thank you. our God, always journey with us. May God's wondrous Spirit always lift our burdens and comfort us in our troubles. May our Savior Jesus Christ always go before us, showing us the way to eternal life. Amen.
Amen.